believe in? Who do you believe in? Do you believe in Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Or do you not? In our text this afternoon, we find the book of John was written about 85 A.D., and John is writing to persuade people to believe in Jesus, and he opens by stressing his relationship with God. In verse 1 through 15, John is writing about the Pharisee named Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus in the night, and he points out that he is a teacher from God, and he continues talking and asks Jesus what he means by being born again. Jesus explains how to receive eternal life in this text. Then in 16 through 21, Jesus continues telling us about God's love for the world. He tells us that God sent Jesus into the world so we might be saved through him, and that those who don't believe in him will face judgment. John concludes this section with Jesus telling us that in order to see God's works carried out, that we have to be in the light. Then in our text, we learn that Jesus was baptizing people across the countryside from John the Baptist. So basically, John the disciple is writing about John the Baptist and Jesus. He's comparing the two. Jesus is baptizing people. John the Baptist is baptizing people. And Nicodemus wants to know, what's the difference? People begin asking John how Jesus could be doing this because John says, I'm not the Christ, but I have sent him before him. And he tells them that Jesus is the Son of God, that whoever believes in him and will avoid wrath, have everlasting life. Choosing to believe in Jesus is the most important decision anyone can make. In our text this afternoon, John is writing about exalting Jesus Christ to his followers. My prayer this evening is for two things. I want you to ask yourself, is Jesus my choice? Have I already chosen Jesus to be my Savior? Two, or have I rejected him? So my first point this morning is believing in Jesus. You look at verse 36 and we see, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The idea here is whosoever. He's saying this in the sense that this is for anybody. This is for me. This is for Sarah. This is for my family. This is for our church. This is for the people outside of our church you follow. This is for Alabama. This is for the U.S. This is for the entire world. This is not just something for me. This is not just something for the people of their time. This is for everybody. This is still today. According to the Webster's Dictionary, to believe is to have a firm religious faith or to accept something as true. Greek speakers would have obviously understood that this meant to trust in Jesus. And we see that in our text. We see verse 36, he that believeth on the Son. That's Jesus, okay? We all believe in stuff. We all believe that these pews are going to hold us up, hopefully. All right? We all believe that our car is going to get us where we need to go. Now, if you have the car that Zach used to have, maybe not. But we all believe that our vehicle is going to take us where to go. We all believe in something. But do you believe in Jesus? John 20:31 says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John 3:17, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't die for no reason. Jesus died for me, and he died for you. He died so that you can have everlasting life. What John means by believing on the Son is that this is a genuine and continual trust. This is not a one-time decision that you make and then you just carry on living life however you want to live. John didn't put it this way. He didn't write it this way. He wrote this in a manner that meant that we're supposed to do this continually. It does not mean that you get saved every day. I know some people want to argue that, but this means that every morning when we wake up, we got to make the decision. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve myself? Many times I wake up, and I was telling the teens this morning, it's very easy when you got your devotions, and you're doing your devotions, and you turn your phone on, and Facebook's the first thing that pops up. It's very, very hard to do my devotions with Facebook in front of me. That is not this daily decision. That is not me making a decision to love the Lord like I should. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about someone who is faithful, continually believing. This means that we have to keep our trust in Christ current and up to date. Christians, this is for you. If we make a choice to believe in him at one point in our life, we need to continue in the faith. Continuing to believe in Christ leads us to eternal life, leading us to the question, what about those who have not believed? Because you're either in two groups today. You're either a believer or you're not. If you're not, you don't know anything about what that cross means today. And if you died, you would not end up in heaven. And contrary to what popularity belief is, There is a hell and there is a heaven. And if there's not, well, then you just go in a hole. So, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you're going to one of those two places. Number two, we've got believing not. Not believing in Jesus. Verse 36, the second part says, "And he that believeth not in the Son," that's Jesus, "shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now, the wrath of God here is pretty interesting. The wrath is not something that we get that's undeserved. God is never angry for something that we don't do. He's never angry at us for without a reason. If God's angry, he has a reason. Okay? It's not like, well, I just walked in and Sarah's had a bad day and I say something and then she is upset, so she responds to me in a certain way and she seems a bit wrathful. That's not what it's talking about here. It's not because she had a bad day. God doesn't have bad days. Okay? What this is talking about is we made a decision, we're sinners, and he's upset. He has wrath. He's angry. Okay. Believeth not. I want us to understand what believeth not means. This does not mean, this phrase carries the idea of disobedience. It means to refuse to go along with, refuse to follow, or to be disobedient. Okay, believeth not is not just like, I don't believe that. It doesn't mean that. It's just like, oh, I don't believe in Jesus. Or if some people say, you know, I believe in Jesus and I believe in church and I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. It's not that kind of belief. The idea here is that if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not just not believing, you're choosing to refuse him. That's thinking, you're refusing him. That's the equivalent of someone asking me if I wanted to go eat somewhere with them and I said, no, I don't like it. You're telling Jesus you don't like that. You're telling him you don't want him. When you choose to believe not. This is vital to the meaning of the passage because for those of us here this afternoon that are not believers, the Bible teaches tonight you're refusing Christ. It means you're not going to go to hell when you die because of an accident. If you die right now, you're going to go to hell because you chose to. You chose not to accept Christ. Wrath. The idea of wrath is a strong, vengeful anger or indignation or retributory punishment for an offense or a crime. Divine chastisement. Teens, divine anger. Amen. So, Greek speakers also would have known this, to have this idea of an epic scale. It's like, it's huge. It's not just small anger. God is serious. This is, he's infuriated. This wrath is because of our selfish decision not to choose him. Ephesians 5:6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of this, of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Colossians 3:6, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." 1 Thessalonians, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm thankful today that this children of disobedience doesn't have to stay that way. I'm thankful we can accept Christ. I'm thankful we have a choice. Revelation 6:17, "For the great day of his wrath come, and who shall be able to stand?" A lot of us, I have this idea, and I know I struggle with this, but I don't understand why, because I'm like 5'9", okay? But like, a lot of us have this idea and concept that we're big, we're bad. A lot of, when we're young, we feel like we can stop a train. Like we don't feel like we can't be stopped. And as we get older, we realize, okay, I'm not as strong as I think I am. A lot of us have this idea that we're good enough. We're good enough to go to heaven. We're good enough to get there because I go to church. I'm on there on Sunday. I'm there on Wednesday. I go to Sunday morning service. I go to the prayer meeting at 9 o'clock, which I would encourage y'all to go to. And I go to all these things, and I do all these things, and I say the right things, and I attend the right stuff, but your works don't get you to heaven. Number one was believing. Either you believe in Christ or you choose to not. Believing is heaven, not is hell. God's wrath is deserved. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, and it comes as a result of refusing Christ. Our sin debt is too large to pay on our own. Brother Jimmy cannot pay my sin debt. As much as Brother Jimmy loves me and he loves y'all, he can't do it. And I think if it boiled down to it, I don't think any of us would have wanted to be on that cross. Because I'm selfish. I really am. We're all selfish. We all want to live for us. We all want to do our thing. But Jesus decided he wouldn't. And I want you to know, he was 100% man, 100% God. He did struggle with this idea. You see it on the cross when he tells the Lord, and he asks the Lord basically why. He said, is there any other way? But he knew that if he didn't die on the cross, all of us would go to hell. He loved us. Warren Wiersbe is a very pronounced commentator in the Christian movement, and he says this about this concept in John chapter 3. Everlasting life does not simply mean eternity in heaven. The believer possesses that life right now. It is the life of God in the believer. It's God living in you. The opposite is eternal life. Of eternal life is eternal death, the wrath of God. The verdict has already been given, but the sentence has yet to be executed. He's basically saying, you know what? We're all going to go to hell unless God steps in, unless we make the decision to accept Christ. And that can only happen if he's working in your heart. Looking at John 3, you can see that the Apostle John is emphasizing for a personal relationship with Christ. This is not an open relationship, a group relationship. This is a personal between you and him, nobody else. For us to be born into God's family, Jesus Christ had to die. There had to be a sacrifice. Through one man, sin entered the world. Through one man, sin can be forgiven. For us to be born into God's family, he had to die. For us to enter a loving relationship with salvation, he had to endure hatred. He endured hatred and condemnation. Many of us living the Christian life, we're always afraid of, you know, what are other people going to think if I go to go eat and I'm sitting there praying, all people are looking at me. Or if I go to EHS, or maybe I go to work and people see me praying before I eat lunch and stuff like that. What are people going to think? What are people going to think when I say, you know, I don't listen to that kind of music? You know, we like to think about those things. But Jesus endured all that, and he didn't care what people thought. We don't need to care what people think. Unfortunately, when I was in high school, I cared what people think too much. I did. A lot of things I did was based off what somebody else would think, because I wanted to have friends. But you know what? Jesus was basically a perfect human, and he's got a lot of friends. He had to be lifted up on the cross so that we might experience forgiveness and eternal life. In April, I was at college at Southeastern, and I was just scrolling through Facebook, and I came across a story, and I want to share it with you. There's a young girl that lives near here, near the Columbus, Georgia area. Her name's Taylor. There's a Facebook page, and it's entitled Tough for Taylor. Let me read this to you. Taylor's a 16-year-old girl, and a sophomore in high school. She was in a horrible car accident on Sunday, April 23rd, 2017. She was on her way home from work when we believe she fell asleep. She was about 3 minutes from home. She was life-flighted to Columbus, Georgia, to a trauma hospital where she was taken straight into surgery. She coded on the table, but they were able to get her back. She was without oxygen for a little bit, which caused great brain damage. She does have some brain bleeds from the accident, and the surgery she received when she arrived at the hospital, they were to repair her diaphragm that was crushed, push her organs back down, and the diaphragm was crushed into the internal organs, and it was because of the seatbelt. Taylor then had another surgery on Wednesday that lasted 10 hours on the 26th. They repaired her whole left side, which was crushed from the accident, and the doctors had to put a rod and screw in her leg, plates and screws in her pelvis, and repaired her left arm. She was then moved back to the ICU, which is where she has been ever since. She has some good days and some bad days. The doctor told us that she will more than likely be in a vegetative state for the rest of her life. We are praying that this miracle allows her, this happen so that we can get our Taylor back. It hurts to see her this way, but she is doing better, and we're thankful for everybody. Anyway, the page goes on and just to thank everybody that's praying for her. But I've been following this since April. I don't know Taylor, but I do know this. She could have died. She's in a vegetative state, but that could have been me. That could have been my friend Sean. He is 20 years old in October 2015, my first year at Southeastern. I knew him for a little bit because I had visited the school beforehand, but he passed away after me being at school for 2 months. He had stage 4 cancer. What I've learned is that it doesn't matter if you're in the teen group over here or the junior group right here or maybe an adult, 80, 90. It doesn't matter how old you are. We're all going to die. And if you haven't made the right decision today, you're going somewhere. And I want to throw this in too. There's some of us that may be here and we haven't decided. We're kind of sitting on the fence. Here's the reality. Let's picture that this pulpit is the fence. The cross is Jesus, and this is ourself over here, the mic. There's no way I can sit on this fence and grab the cross with one hand and grab the mic with the other. I can't do that. It's impossible. There is no middle ground. Choosing to not make a choice is choosing to believe not. If you don't make a choice, you're basically volunteering to go to hell because you're not willing to set your pride aside and accept Christ into your life. Life's most important decision is choosing to believe in Jesus. If you have chosen Jesus, I ask you this morning, this afternoon, is your faith up to date? Are you where you need to be? I would be willing to bet most of us would agree that there's some room for improvement. There's some things that I can do better. Me, I know I can do devotions better. I can spend more time in them. I know that there's a lot of things that I struggle with. I know that I need to, you know, focus more, and when I feel like I need to be doing a lot more. I know that there's so much more that I could be doing. What about you? Do you have something in your life? Is something that comes to mind when you say, okay, I'm a Christian, but I know that I could be doing more at church. I know I could be in my Bible. I know I could be here for the prayer group. I know I could do these things. But honestly, I just don't want to get up. I don't care. I just don't want to get up. Remember we said daily decision? Choosing not to get up and be lazy, is that necessarily choosing to have a continual faith and grow and to be what God wants you to be? He doesn't want you to be like a sorry Christian, I guess you'd say. He doesn't want you to be that. He doesn't want you to do the minimum. If that's what he wanted, we wouldn't be here. There's no reason for this. He doesn't want minimum Christians. You'll never seek the lost the way God wants you to and see people saved. Our church will never be what it needs to be if all we have is minimal Christians. For those of you who haven't believed in him, I challenge you to get that right today. Jesus dying for our sins is an undeserved gift. There's nothing that we'd ever did that made it where we deserved it. Adam sinned. His kids sinned. His kids sinned. His grandkids sinned. I sinned. You've sinned. We've all sinned, you know. But we're going to go somewhere. Taylor was 3 minutes from her house. She may still die. I know it's been several months, but she's in a vegetative state. Thankfully, she was saved. She knows where she's going. I couldn't imagine. I don't know what it was like to be a calm, but I wonder what's going in her mind. I'm sure she's still thinking something, you know. But her parents don't have to worry because they know that their little girl is going to go to heaven one day. Can that be said about you if you died today 3 minutes from your house in a car accident or whatever the situation may be? Where would you go? Choosing not to accept Christ is refusing to choose Jesus in exchange for God's wrath. You're basically saying, I don't want Jesus, I'd rather take God's wrath. This is a choice everyone must make. What will your decision be? Let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to share my heart. God, this is not my opinion, but this is what your word says. And if there's anybody here that needs you today, I'd ask that you'd work in their heart and show them that they have to make a decision. They can't continue to sit on the fence. Sitting on the fence should not be an option, because the reality is if you choose to sit on the fence, you're choosing to die and go to hell. How sad would it be for you to be knowing that God's tugging on your heart? He's begging.